Sullivan testing the Portuguese.
You know, I like to be fit and healthy, so the best way I know is to just get out there and run.
Running was an outlet for me to, I guess, feel good about myself and take out some of the angers that were going on in my life.
Sonny O'Sullivan is going to take the world title back to Ireland.
Are you wondering why your running isn't improving the way you'd like it to? Is your fitness hitting one of those dreaded plateaus? Are you finding running boring all of a sudden? Well, cross-training on your rest days might be the piece that's missing in your training puzzle. But Jar, I barely have enough time to run. Never mind include a whole new thing on the days I'm meant to be resting. Well, that's why the GOAT, the legend, the Queen of Irish Athletics is here to explain how even something very small each week could change your headspace, your form, your recovery, and your fitness for the better. Sonny O'Sullivan, great to have you here. How has your week been in America?
Good to be here. And my week, it feels like it was just a weekend, but so I was away for the weekend in Seattle. Again,
very nice.
It's like I'm up there every second weekend, but we actually had a nice weekend. I went up to see Sophie because she has been cross training, and I wanted to see how she was getting on. And you know, the problem is I get roped into doing a little bit of the cross training with her, and I used to be a pretty good swimmer and better than Sophie, and now she's a lot better than me. So she. Yeah, she leaves me on the bottom of the pool floor.
So you said before we came on that she's actually increased her fitness during this down period. That's bananas.
Well, you see, the thing is, it's not a down period. And that's the difficulty with cross training for people, is that when you're injured and you're forced to cross train, then you're able to do it a lot better than if you're actually running and you're trying to include it in your training. Because for some reason, cross-training, for many people, it's linked with an injury and not being able to run. And because of that, once you're free of it, then every athlete, when they're doing it, says, oh, I'm going to keep doing this when I start back running. I'm going to include it in my training. But before they know it, then they're not including it anymore, because running is just too easy and too efficient. When you do this cross-training, it just takes so much time. Yeah. And I mean, I know from years ago doing it in the past, I know from supervising athletes, and even that, I mean, if you're coaching athletes, you know, you're not spending every minute of the day with them, and when they're cross training, the hours and time that they put in is a lot more than when you're running. And that's the big thing about it, is when you, so you're maintaining fitness and you're working really hard, and when you get back running, you nearly expect to be flying, but it then can still take a few weeks to kind of navigate the efficiency of running alongside the fitness that you've gained or maintained while you're cross training. And so aerobically you're really fit, but you still have to get back into the rhythm of running and feeling good running, and not to do that too fast and to get injured again. What I've been doing, or trying to do with Sophie recently, is trying to manage the cross training a bit, because a lot of athletes, they just go crazy and they just, you know, you're just training all hours of the day. And so it's just to be able to monitor and manage that, so that the training you're doing, you're not just out there banging your head against the wall and, you know, just going nonstop for the sake of doing it, but it's actually got some purpose and function to it. And, you know, so the options for many runners is a pool aqua jogging or pool running is one that they all go to, but that's one of the most mind-boggling cross-training things that you can do, because...
Oh, tell me about it.
There's no kind of measurement of it. You know, you can...
You also look so weird down your local pool. Like, people are just going... Like, I remember doing it when I was coming back from injury, and Mikey's class was down there. Like, there were a bunch of sixth-class kids. And one of them said to Mikey at school the next day, I think I saw your dad swimming the other day. Like, I think that's what he was doing. He was waving his arms around and running up and down the pool.
But the thing is, if you were swimming, he wouldn't know, because he wouldn't see you, because your head would be in the water.
But instead, his dad looked like a freak in the pool. Where you are, or where you were with Sophie, it wouldn't have been that uncommon, would it?
No, but she, She did some aqua jogging when she was here last week. You see, the thing with aqua jogging, and aqua jogging is such a bad word as well. Pool running seems better.
Yeah.
Is you need a deep pool. And many pools are not deep enough, or they're deep enough for a short amount of space. So you could be limited to a small corner of the pool. So in a way, I think swimming is better because you're improving a skill if you swim. And so you're bettering yourself with something. And so I think if you can get your head around swimming, then I found with Sophie anyway this time around that she seems happier swimming. And, you know, you get a session, a proper swimming session. I have this book here I've picked up. You know, I'm mad for books. And swimming is one of those things that people laugh. They say, I don't know anyone who, you know, reads about swimming and then goes out and does it. And I have done this many times over the years. And I found this book. I was at Nike the other day. I'd find a quiet room to do a Zoom. And there was all these books in there. And one was a swimming book. And the swim coach over there at the Nike swim club where I go sometimes during the week had mentioned, he said, oh, I follow the swim smooth method. And here's this book in there called Swim Smooth. And I thought, oh, this must be it. And it's amazing. But like, what's really amazing about it is that when I was doing a swim session one day and I was in the pool and there's a few good swimmers over there now and I'm not very good. I can stay in there for a long time and I can try hard, but I wouldn't be the most efficient. And that's the thing with runners and swimming is that people will say, yeah, but runners are not very good swimmers. So they can't swim efficiently enough to get a good workout in.
Mm.
So that's, you know, I suppose
that gets in the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you have to be able to overcome that, I think.
Yeah. It's like you can, it's just like with running that you've got to get to a certain level of proficiency before it starts to become fun.
Yeah. And that's the thing is when I was doing the swim session and we're halfway through and I go, oh, is this a threshold swim session? And this guy's on the side of the pool laughing at me like, yeah. But he doesn't, I'm not sure he knows that, like, I love this stuff. And so once you understand something like that and you get it, then you know that you get it more than other people. Because some people just don't get that. But I think once you get it and you know that pace, whether it's swimming or running or cycling, then all of a sudden it opens up a whole new kind of field of, you know,
options
for you in training that you can go out for a threshold run and it's not, you're not dreading it. You're looking forward to it. And the same with swimming. I mean, I don't really love, I love to hate swimming. I actually don't mind it when I'm in there, but I don't look forward to going there. And I love it when I'm finished. But when you're doing a session that actually makes sense and you know the purpose of what you're doing, then you feel so much better about it. It's like you can kind of understand it and you get it. And, you know, you don't feel overwhelmed by it all, I think. And you don't feel like you're not very good at it because you can actually do it at your level.
And yeah, and it stops being mindless. Like, I think that is sometimes the obstacle with cross training, speaking as the layman here, is the, like, what do? I just go and cycle the bike for a bit. But if it has an actual name and reason, you come back and go, I got the thing done and achieved the goal. And you return to the house knowing that ticked off.
Yeah, and I mean, you start to understand, you know, swimming terms or cycling terms, you know, things like, well, I still don't get the stroke rate and things like that, but cadence in cycling is, I suppose it's like cadence in running. It makes more sense in different sports. But, you know, things like when you're swimming, if you do lengths at a pool, but you breathe maybe every third stroke or every fifth or every seventh, then that really gets you.
Seventh stroke?
Yeah, what? Try it next time you're in the pool.
Oh, my God. At its essence, right, when we look up cross-training, speaking again as the layman here, what they'll tell you is cross-training for runners is any activity that is complementary to your running training. Now, you've chosen swimming as your top of the tree. What's number two? And within this question, I want to ask, is there certain cross-training things that should be avoided?
Well, there's lots of different things. It depends what you're cross training for. I mean, I suppose if you're running, then you're okay to do some weight bearing. So the big thing at the moment is, well, there's the cross trainer. Have you been on one of those?
Oh, yeah, the actual machine.
Yeah, so it's like an elliptical machine. But yeah, then there's other versions. There's lots of different versions of that. So then people like find their favorite one. But the big one that they talk about over here in the US at the moment now, and I'm sure they must be all over the place, it's called the ARC trainer. Yeah, okay. So it's a bit like your, it's a weird one now. I haven't been on it. I've seen, we have one here. We just got one here recently.
I'm looking at it. It's got like, it's like a stepper with it's the like, kind of cross country skier job going on.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like you're, in a way, it feels like you're just doing kind of, it's more of a running motion for sure. And you're working more out of your glutes and your hips than the cross trainer. It seems to be a bit more coming from your calves, I think. Mm. And it seems to be a bit more lower leg, whereas the arc appears to be a bit more upper leg and more running motion. And a lot of athletes, I think I've seen Eilish McColgan on one recently. She kills it on there. And this girl over in the US that's fairly well known in college circles, she's one of the better runners at the moment, Parker Valby. She apparently trains on it all the time. So it's people think, oh, yeah, you got to use the ARC trainer. And that's the go-to machine now for people. And then, of course, you can go outdoors on the bike if you're in a nice place.
But yeah, because when you second you said a machine, I just like I'm just a bit averse to the kind of sweaty room, the poor ventilation. You know, the whole point of running is to get outdoors. Like the ARC, I'd imagine, is great. I see Aoife Cleary, somebody who's coming to Cove, big fan of the cross training and not afraid of the gym. If you want to get outdoor and get, as you say, get the same kind of ARC trainer thing, like are we forced to invest in a bike of some sort?
Well, no, I think you're better off going to the gym. And I mean, the thing is, if you can't run and you've got to use it every day, then you're probably still only, you're still as well to just go to the gym, because I'm sure there's many people out there who've invested in, I mean, a stationary bike, maybe the, what's it called? The Peloton. They seem to be very popular and people really get into them in the wintertime, especially. But, you know, to get a cross trainer, you need the space in your house to do it, or you might be, isolated to go into the garage to do it by yourself. And staring at a blank wall, which is so unmotivating to me. That's the one thing that I would worry about the ARC that we have here at Nike now, is that it's in this clinic area. Yeah. And basically you're staring at a blank wall. Whereas Sophie was the other day in Seattle was great. She was in the swimming pool and it was an outdoor pool, but it was covered over for the winter with a bubble thing. And she's hoping that it opens up fairly soon, because it's just so much nicer to swim outdoors. Great. But also when she went to do the cross trainer thing afterwards, and that's the thing, you know, she's in the pool belting away for an hour, a little bit over an hour, and then comes straight out and up it onto the cross trainer, which was, it was lovely. It was in this beach club on Mercer Island. So her coach has access to this thing, because the swimming pool in the university is not great, because they don't have a swim team. So it's not a proper pool. It's a recreation pool. So she's at this beach club, which sounds exotic, you know, but in Seattle and the gray and the rain. I'm sure it's beautiful in summer, but in winter it's. But the cross trainer was actually upstairs. There was a lovely big window and you're looking out over Lake Washington. And, you know, nice. I mean, it's just, that's so much more motivating than being, you know, cooped up in a dark room.
Staring at a wall. Yeah, I mean, like, I think we may have skipped something here, right? We're 15 minutes into our chat about cross training, benefits of it, what to choose, what to do, how to get your head around it. And later in the show, we'll of course talk to our squad. We are getting very close now to Cove. It has to be said, Sonia, it really must feel like nearly time to head home for it. If you haven't joined up for the race, Ballymore Cove AC's annual 10-mile road race in aid of breakthrough cancer research, I believe there's only 20 places left, Sonia. Is this true? This thing is nearly sold out.
I think it might be sold out.
Which probably by the time this gets uploaded, it's gone. I mean, is this the most successful one you've ever done?
Well, definitely the most successful number of people signed up. So the key now is to see how many we can get to finish. It's amazing. There's a well-known dropout rate, and it's quite a large percentage
of people sign up and then don't make it.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you could have maybe 20%.
Wow.
So if you have 1,000 people signed up, maybe only 800 finished. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And I'm not sure when you're signing up then if they account for that. But the problem is that if you've only ordered so many mugs and medals and t-shirts, that if you you can't be like an airline and overbook. You can't put you on another flight, send you to the next race down the road.
Yeah, people want those mugs. And we got to look at the mugs this year. Their new design for the highly coveted Sonia O'Sullivan Cove 10-mile mug. And it is a doozy this year. It's another beautiful one. Last year was all black and white. I'm looking forward to it, getting my hands on it. And you're right, people will be pissed if they don't get their mug.
Yeah, and I think there was a shortage of mugs last year, but I think it was because a box of them went missing or something. Or
that's how highly coveted they are.
It was some weird thing.
The mugs.
They disappeared. But, I mean, everybody wants to get their hands on a mug. You definitely don't want to miss that out. And it's got all the colourful houses in Cove on it this year. And I think that my house might even be on there. I hope so, anyway.
Oh, very nice.
I can say it is, you know.
Yeah, nobody will know.
But say thanks to Ruth Phelan is the... she's the designer and the artist who draws on the mugs for us every year. So
I didn't realize it was a local person doing it. Ruth Phelan, shout out to her. We're going to go around the parishes and give a few shout outs in a minute, but we should talk about the week 11 Cove training plan that you've done up for everybody, Sonia. You start up by saying we're very close and the taper is coming soon. Does that mean that this is the toughest week yet?
No. This is not very tough. This is, maybe capped on top of everything else. It might be, because what happens when you're getting closer to the race, your body starts to be, craving a rest and is looking for this downtime. So I think the long run is definitely shorter this week. There's a lot of options for easy runs and days off and cross training. I think this is definitely a week to listen to your body, and the most important days are the session days. So I would focus on getting those done and then not worry too much about the in-between
days.
If you need to, change that up a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed you had down on one of the easy days, 20 to 40 minutes easy run. No run is too short if it makes you feel good, is the comment you put under it. I mean, that's something that we all need to bear in mind, isn't it? Because you tend to go, oh God, if I don't do X amount of time, does it even count as a run? But in fact, there's so much to be gained from coming back feeling great.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would be guilty of thinking, oh, is it worth putting my shoes on for 20 minutes? I'm going out and then I have to come back and get a shower and get changed and everything. But it is amazing how good you feel after you go out and you do something like that. Even a short run, if you can just squeeze something in, it just gives you a good boost of adrenaline, and it can also make you feel good as a recovery run. So on the Monday there, if you've done your long run yesterday, and now this won't go out till Wednesday. So you can think about this in the future. The Monday easy run, that could be Monday evening, just to get out and get a bit of fresh air. If it's a nice evening, the evenings are getting a bit longer, and you just feel like, I just got to get out there, it's lovely, rather than being cooped up at home. that, you know, you use it as a recovery. You know, you've had a hard, long run the day before. You need taking a bit of rest. So you've got all day Monday off. And then Monday evening, you think, you know what? I feel like going for a run. And there's no harm to go out there and just go for, you know, a nice little loop, whether it's a run around the block or to your local park. Just to get out in some fresh air and nature is, you know, it's always worthwhile.
Yeah, like you say, even the long run is shorter this week, according to your plan here, 40 to 60 minutes with the comment, cool the jets. Is that also for people, like, we will have a voice note from one of the members of Sonia's handpicked squad who has worked through an injury through the 12-week plan. Is that to help those kind of people avoid the temptation to try and make up for lost runs with their long run being a little bit longer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a message there for everybody, really, because at this point in the training program, a lot of people will be starting to feel really fit and you start to feel really good. And you go out there and the long run is only 40 to 60 minutes, whichever category you fall into or you feel suitable to you. And you think, I can fly around this now. This is great. Whereas normally on a longer run, you might kind of settle into it and take your time. But you can actually just run this at a nice, easy pace as well and not feel like you have to, you know, check how well you're going. You can wait for the race for that. And, you know, I'd say for most people, just leave the oven door closed this week and don't be trying to test yourself. Because this is the week where it could be a little bit of danger that you push yourself a little bit too hard. And the most important thing is to get to the start line and, you know, not have something happen in the last couple of weeks.
I actually did Don't Check the Oven run specifically this week, where I set myself the challenge of running 10K without looking at the watch at all. So no look at any point during it. It's amazing how hard that is for someone who enjoys a bit of feedback, but kind of running on that feel of, right, it's meant to be an easy run. You know what easy is. Trust in that. Good experiment to give a try to, lads, if you haven't given this a go. I know it's sacrilege to leave the watch behind, but even if you have to, put a little bit of tape over the top of the watch, hit go, cover it over, and off you go. It was one of the most enjoyable runs of the week. And I say that, Sonia, on the understanding that my long run on Sunday, when I couldn't do, I was one of those people that dropped out of the Wicklow Gale half marathon on Sunday because Mikey had a big basketball match. Shout out to the Dunshaughlin Rockets, who won their region and took home the gold medal on Sunday. But as a result of my useless child winning championships for me, I couldn't do my half marathon and had to do it on Saturday with the help of Fintan Coonahan and Steve Daly, my training partners for this road to London. And it went horribly. Sonia, to be honest with you, it was like if this happens in London at the London Marathon to me, I will be lucky to make it home in time for them putting away the barriers. Like I'll be one of those people where they're like, and that this young man has been running all day. I tanked in the worst possible way, Sonia, honest to God. I just hit 10K in this half marathon effort. That was the whole point. Vinny was like, give it a go as if you're in the Wicklow half. And it just, the wheels came off. And I know you must be getting used to hearing me say this because it's happened to me quite a bit in the last year. But it's so demoralizing when that happens, isn't it? You're just like,
it's a very difficult thing to do, to set out to do what's basically a time trial over a half marathon.
Yeah.
Like, hard enough for people to do a time trial over 800 meters or 1500 meters on a track. But to go out there for, you know, well over an hour and a half to put in the half marathon effort, I think it's probably a greater mental challenge than a physical challenge.
It was, you know, a big ask, yeah.
There's just three of you doing it. And yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a very difficult thing to do. And you don't get the same adrenaline boost that you would if you go to a race.
No, it's very true.
It's just a long, hard training session to get through.
Yeah.
And Yeah, no, I mean, I would never be able to do something like that. I don't think I ever did anything like, you know, 10K.
It's making me feel an awful lot better. Sonia could never do that. Well, I didn't do it either.
I never really tested myself over big, long distances like that in alone. Training.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done hard efforts. And I think one time I did some big, like, I was something like 30 minutes along the river path in London between Hampton Court and Kingston Bridge. And Nick, he said I was flying, like he could tell I was like ready for, you know, a fast 10K after I did that. But it wasn't really measured. So It was all based on the effort and it felt easy and I was going at a good pace. But we didn't actually measure it as a 10K effort. It was probably 9.63 kilometers or something like that. It was totally didn't mean anything. Except that you just got confidence from knowing how good you felt over running for that amount of time out on the riverbank. So I think it's, you know, it's very hard to read into these things because even if you run really well in it, then you kind of think to yourself, but was it a wasted effort? You know,
I ran a
race in training, but it wasn't really a race. And it, you know, there's no, you don't get to record that time officially.
Yeah, no, 100%. I probably would have been disappointed if I went and PB'd a half marathon around the Phoenix Park with two lads who we were just chatting as we did it.
But some people are really good at that, and some people can run a PB in training for 10K or, you know, 5K or half marathon. It's amazing that people can actually do that. And these are people who you will notice they can run hard in training all the time, but then the lift that they get from a race is not the same. They will run the same in a race as they do in training because they think that's how it works. They don't understand that the training is a training and, you know, that's all, you know, nobody even knows that. And it doesn't matter what time you do. It doesn't matter what's on Strava. All that matters is when you actually run a race and you cross the finish line and you get that official time.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to say a very special thanks to Steve and Fintan for helping me through because they really did drag me over the finish line. And that is when running together really is the beautiful part of this thing that we do. And the nice little twist to this story is I obviously took the Sunday off and got out here. It's Monday as we record this and ran 10K here faster, like, and easier than I've ever felt 10K feel. So there was a benefit to be found in it. And like you say, there, when it does feel hard, you're probably getting some benefits from that, even though you mightn't feel them at the time. Let's get around the parishes though, Sonia. We've got a few people that need a shout out. Bandon AC are the first one getting a shout out here. Their 5K road race is on April 25th. All the proceeds go to their track development. And as you know, Sonia, Cork is in a terrible situation now in terms of tracks. So we need to get out there and we need to support all of these efforts to get tracks open, up and running and refurbished. Thanks to David O'Keefe for getting in touch with that one. I wish I could be there, but I will be in Sheffield Town Hall that evening on April 25th, Bandon AC 5K road race. How are things going with your own track down there at the moment, Sonia?
Well, apparently there is some works being done and it's going to be available for use soon.
Very good.
I think the people down there at UCC have decided that, yeah, we can actually do something to make this usable. While then also making a long-term plan. So I think there's a long-term plan will be to resurface the whole track at some point. And it just seems to be the weather is the biggest issue in, you know, getting these resurfacing things done. You know, there's no friggin' roof you can put over a track.
Yeah, you need it. It's like tarmac in a road, isn't it? They always do it on the hot days. You need good dry weather to do it.
Good dry weather and apparently it's been one of the wettest winters ever.
Get Simon Harris to sort it out.
We need a big umbrella over the home country.
one more race shout out before we get to the individuals. Elaine from the Terenure 5 mile road race was in touch. This is a really fast, flat race for anyone looking to see where they're at with their fitness or maybe snatch a cheeky little PB, takes place on Sunday, May 12th at 9:30. And it's in aid of a charity very close to my heart, the Irish Kidney Association. I'll definitely be running this. I reckon I'll be sufficiently recovered from London by then. Sonia, yours is the big race though, that we're shouting out here. I mean, even though it's sold out now, excitement's building. And I know I sent on Aoife Cleary's New York run. Did you get a look at that for a shout out here?
Aoife what seems her- run in New York, was that the half marathon she ran or a different run?
St. Patrick's Day, yes, she ran a half marathon in New York. Yes. Yeah, Aoife's coming down. People might know Aoife as the winner of the Irish half marathon in Phoenix Park leading up to the Dublin. She was the one who had the headphones on the whole way around. I know she was wearing the shocks for this New York performance though.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, so she's changed from the Dre Beats. Mm-hmm.
You got a bit more lightweight chocks.
Yeah, but this was something else though. The run she did in New York on St. Patrick's Day, I needed to give this a special shout. I sent it across to you, Sonia. I don't know if it landed in your inbox, because conditions weren't great, but Aoife came back with a time of 1 hour and 20. I mean, really just unbelievable performance, and just she must be in great shape for Cork now for Cove.
Yeah, it'd be great to have Aoife down in Cove. I think she was hoping to go a little bit faster than that in New York. I think she definitely has aspirations to get up there into some of the, you know, faster times. I noticed actually the times for the Mallow 10 mile this weekend, it didn't look like the weather was great down there. The men didn't break 50 minutes and the women were just under 60, so there's an opportunity there now for any fast runners out there to come and, you know, pick up the fastest time in Ireland over 10 miles in Cove. So, you know, we've been there before, and as much as it's an undulating course, we can get some very fast times. So I think Aoife will have a good shot at know, getting over those hills and maybe get up there to run one of the fastest times in Ireland this year.
Fantastic. Well, we have more to talk about, of course, every single week over on patreon.com/Irishman Abroad. You can support the show and in return get access to all of our episodes, Sonia's full training plans, an extra 30 minutes of conversation every week. We're going to hear from the squad, the handpicked Sonia O'Sullivan squad for the road to Cove, and their questions about race strategy, wind, what's next, and much more on cross training. Don't miss out this week. Come over and sign up and ask to be part of the WhatsApp group, which is growing in numbers every single day. Just message us irishmanabroadpodcast@gmail.com for a question for Sonia or anything that's troubling you running wise. Sonia, we'll talk to you over there.
Talk to you soon.
One of the keys to like maintaining your brain mass is pushing past that comfortable zone physically, you know, exercise wise.
Imagine, you know, a world where everybody could go out the door and engage in the kind of exercise that's going to make them more relaxed, more healthy, burn off stress.